The gospel reading for today is Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, which is found on page 60 or page 73 of your pew Bible. Let's see what it's found here. Before I read it, I'd like to say a few little things. Yeah, okay. Thanks to Michael Sophia for asking me to read today. Really, it's an honor. And I want to thank all of you, the church, everyone, and the whole town of Leonia, everyone who has come through these doors in the last 15 years. Thank you for opening your ears and your eyes and your hearts and your minds and your homes to the good news of the gospel. And thank you for your faith. Some of you may not think you have a lot of faith, but you have enough. You have more than enough. Jesus said a little mustard seed of faith, the smallest of seeds, can grow into a great tree, and the birds of the air will come and make their nests in it. And Deborah and I have seen such a tiny seed grow into a great shade tree of Leonia, rooted and grounded in love. And that tree will stand, and that tree will grow because it's rooted and grounded in love. Thank you for the shade that we have enjoyed of that wonderful tree. Now listen for the good news of the gospel. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Thanks be to God.
The word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Will the children please come forward for the children's sermon? It's especially wonderful to have Bonnie here. She was a little one when I first came here. She was the star of our children's sermon, and she's here as a grown-up teenager now. Have a seat. Come sit down. Today I want to talk about this banner. Have you ever seen this banner before?
No.
Does anybody know who made this banner?
No.
God did not make the banner. No, God is not the answer to every question. But this banner was made by Pamela Lovell, who was an artist. She died a year ago. She was very old, but she made a lot of the banners in our church. She's a wonderful artist. And so I wanted to talk about this banner today. What's happening in this picture? What do you notice is happening in this picture? Yeah? What do you notice about this picture? What do you see?
Maybe I'm
what do you see?
Fish.
You see a fish, okay.
And an eagle.
And an eagle, yeah. That looks just like an eagle. Does anyone know what other bird it might be? A dove, yeah. It could be an eagle, but it's probably a dove. Yeah, it's not a duck, no. Okay, what else do you notice? What else do you notice? Yes, Leo? Someone is emerging out of the water. So This person is standing in the water, and what's happening to the person? What's happening to the person in that picture? Yeah, yes, who said that? Yeah, this is a baptism picture of someone who was baptized in a lake or a river or a stream and coming out of the water, and you can see the water coming out and things coming down from the top. And what does it say? Who can read the words? Of water and spirit. So we're born, and when you're baptized, you're born of the water. That means you're born from your mother, but you're also born of the spirit, and you become a child of God in baptism. So who knows what happened to Jesus when he was baptized? Listen up. Yeah, Lily? A dove. And what did the dove represent? The spirit, right. So when Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water and something like a dove came on him, and it was just like the spirit. It was like the spirit of God came in him, and there was a voice. And what did the voice say? Anyone know what the voice said?
No.
You don't know what the voice said. Okay, grown-ups, help us. What did the voice say? You are my beloved son or child, because if it's a girl, it'd have to be a girl. With you, I am
well pleased.
What does it mean to be well pleased with someone? Yeah?
Pleased enough?
Yes, very well pleased, very much pleased. I really love you. I think you're great. That's what that means. You're a wonderful person. And that's the message that God gives us in baptism. So later, listen, watch this way. Watch this way. Later in the service, we're going to, those of you who stay, who are first grader and older, can come up with the grown-ups, and we're going to remember our baptisms, and we can put either Mr. Voriakos or I will put some water on your forehead and remind you that you are a child of God and that God loves you and you are blessed. So let's have a prayer.
Wait.
Uh-oh. This was not practiced. Okay. Oh, look at this. Okay. Suzanne says, just don't read them now so you don't cry. Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's you. Look at that. Oh, Leo, wonderful.
And myself.
Okay. Oh, and one more? Thank you, Ethan. Okay, you want to put them in there? Okay, let's have a prayer. Who can have a thank you so much for those wonderful cards? Let's let Ryan in. Here, can we hold Ryan's hand? Back up, everyone. Big circle. Big circle.
Free shipping.
Okay, let's have a prayer. Dear God, we thank you that you call us by name, and that we are your children, and that you love us. Bless each child here, and help them to get that message in their hearts, to know that you hold them dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, those of you who are first grade and older, please go sit with your parents. Please stay seated for the next hymn, 659, Know That God Is Good. Join me in prayer.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's my last Sunday here as your pastor, and I hope I can make it through the rest of the service. Please forgive me if I weep a little. It's really hard to say goodbye, but as your elders and I have told you, it has to be a real goodbye. It's important for you to move forward with a new pastor and not hang on to the past. But I really appreciate all the fuss you've been making over me. It was an amazing and perfect party last night. You put in a tremendous amount of time and effort and love, and I will treasure that time always. I thank you for the gifts, but especially for all the love and affirmation you've been sending my way. It makes it harder to leave, but I'm leaving with a full heart. Before I leave, however, there's one thing I have to scold you about. I don't know who you are, but I've heard that a few of you have said that you will stop coming to church after I leave. I hope that was a joke, because if you're not joking, you missed the point of what I've been trying to do here for the past 15 years. I have poured out my soul here, but not to build a cult of Deborah followers. My deepest desire is for you to experience God in your own life and follow in the way of Christ. And if you can't find joy in following Jesus without me around, I'm afraid I have failed. Now, I'm not a Jesus freak, although I was when I was a teenager way back in the 1960s. I don't believe that Jesus is the answer to every question, and I don't even care whether or not you believe Jesus is God. Whatever you believe or don't believe about him, Jesus is the source and the power of our Christian faith. He brings us into the presence of God and shows us how to be real human beings who are free to love, free to serve, and free to be the people God created us to be. You may like my personality or not, but what has made this ministry successful over the last 15 years is not my personality. It is the Spirit of Christ. And the pastor is not the only one who has access to that Spirit. You all do. I've been cleaning out the files in my office lately, and I came across the results of a survey we took here after your former pastor left. He had served for 20 years, and many people said they could not imagine the church without him. But some people wrote that his departure forced them to think more deeply about faith and to discover their own faith apart from the church and the pastor. Yes, it makes a difference to have a good leader and a good teacher, but each of us has to come to terms with Jesus, and not just what other people say about him. We have to let him speak to us himself through his words in the Gospels and receive the relationship he offers us with God. In some ways, I feel like John the Baptist in the passage Tom read from the Gospel of Luke this morning. John told the crowds, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I, one whose sandals I am not worthy to touch or untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." I have baptized some of you here and many of your children. It's one of the most joyful things a pastor can do, but the power of a baptism does not come from me. I just pour the water and sometimes shed a tear. The real power comes from the Holy Spirit and your own opening to God in that experience. Tom read this morning that when Jesus was baptized, heaven was opened and a voice said to him, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. When we are baptized, God says those same words to us. We are welcomed into God's family, loved and cared for. Each one of us is precious in God's sight. And God's delight in Jesus was not based on anything Jesus had already done. Jesus began his work after all this. God's love for Jesus was the beginning and the foundation of everything Jesus was to do from then on. It gave him confidence and power to act in the world. David read from the prophet Isaiah this morning, "I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear. I am with you." That message was delivered thousands of years ago to God's chosen people, the Israelites, who are coming to the end of their time in exile. God declared his love and care for them and promised to be with them and gather them back together. And we believe those promises were made universal in Jesus Christ. 10 years ago, I had the confirmation class read that same message from Isaiah and tell me which passages struck them as important. One person chose the first verse, "I have called you by name, you are mine." Someone else chose, "Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." Yet when I asked the class whether they felt that they were precious in God's sight, that God loved them, not one of them could respond. It's not as though they disbelieved it. It just wasn't part of their experience that they could talk about. And I couldn't come up with any words to convince them otherwise. What does it take to realize God's love for us? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't even remember how it happened for me, except that at one point in my teen years, I heard it and I wanted to believe it. Maybe it's just a matter of desire. Or maybe it's something we have to take on faith until we experience and know it. According to Luke, it happened for Jesus at his baptism as he prayed. And when we pray, our hearts and minds can be opened to God's love, just as the heavens were opened for Jesus. If you are one of those people who wants or needs to know God's love in your life, you can pray and ask God to show it to you. God answers those kinds of prayers. But also pray that your eyes may be open to see, because sometimes God's love comes in unexpected ways. So if you decide to pray, you also need to pay attention. And as we experience God's love for us, God gives us the freedom and power to love others. We don't keep it to ourselves. We pass it on. You have certainly passed a lot of love on to me, and I want to thank you for a wonderful 15 years here. Thank you for giving me the chance to be your pastor. This is where it gets hard. For worshiping with me and working with me and sharing your wisdom and life experience and your time and your talents and resources with me and with the church. I have said many times that a pastor can only be as good as the congregation he or she serves. You are a faithful and generous congregation, and I'm honored to be allowed to work here. It took you a while to get used to me. I don't know if you remember, but nobody laughed at my jokes when I first got here. After a few years, you started to catch on to my brand of humor. And now you laugh even when I didn't mean to make a joke. Thank you for allowing me to be a real human being who makes mistakes and doesn't always say what I mean or know what to do. Thank you also for being willing to try almost anything at least once, and also letting me know when something we tried did not work. Thank you for being so good at setup and cleanup and caring for this building as you do your own home. But thank you also for caring even more about mission and loving your neighbor. Thank you for being willing to give up control and share responsibility and power with new people. And even when you do have the urge to control, which I know some of you do, thank you for keeping a sense of humor and allowing others to do things differently. Thank you for being brave enough to attend a church where not everyone speaks your own language, and for believing you have a place here. Thank you for overlooking each other's weaknesses and focusing instead on the good things they have to offer. Thank you for forgiving each other. Thank you for loving each other. And as Betsy said last night, that's the greatest gift you can give to me, to get through this transition well, to pray together, to respect and honor your differences, and to love each other. I love you all, and I love this church. But most important, God loves you. So as I leave, I want you to remember your baptism, that God has claimed you as his own, and you belong to God. It doesn't matter whether it's me or someone else who sprinkles the water on your head. The message and the power are not in the water or in the hand that delivers it. The power is in the Holy Spirit and in the voice of God. You can know that when you pass through the waters, the rivers, the fire, the hardship of life, God has promised to be with you. You are precious in God's sight and honored, and God loves you. Remember that always. And God will guide us all into our next adventures in faith. God bless you. Amen.